هون لگل اس بی اس کردینه ل sbs.com.au/kurdish چی روکن هیجا ببینن.
With us today, journalist and political analyst Vladimir Van Vilgenberg to talk about the situation in northern Syria and the escalated crisis between Turkey and the Syrian forces. Thank you so much for joining us today, Vladimir.
No problem.
Thank you. As we are witnessing, Turkey has now opened its gates to Europe for all the Syrian refugees at the moment. How do you think this will help Turkey to put any pressure on the European countries?
Well, it's not just Syrian refugees. Like, most of the people actually are also, there are people from Afghanistan, Iran, even from Kurds, from Iraq. So there's many people that are trying to cross the border. But in general, it's a way for Turkey basically to put pressure on Europe and NATO to give more support for its policies in Idlib. But the problem is for Turkey that, I mean, Europe cannot do much inside Syria for Turkey. I mean, Turkey is a part of NATO, but the rules of NATO doesn't mean that they can, for instance, provide them with military support or something. I mean, there's like limited options for Europe, but they can give like diplomatic support. And the U.S. is also discussing of setting up Patriot missiles in Turkey. So, yeah, it's like a way for Turkey basically to put pressure on Europe to get more support.
But can it get support? Because Turkey, up until recently, has all these deals, constantly meeting with Putin and making deals in regards to Syria, in particular against the Kurds, for example, of Syria. How does this balance out? On one hand, making deals with Russia, on the other hand, now fighting Russia.
Well, I mean, like, Turkey is not directly, is always trying to avoid that, for instance, that they are engaged in clashes with Russia. They always say we are engaged in clashes with the Syrians, with the Syrian government forces. So I think it's difficult for Turkey to get more support in this regard. And as you said, like, in the past, they had also deals with Russia. So I think it's difficult for Turkey to balance this out. But I think the main fear for Turkey is the refugees. They don't want to have millions of refugees inside Turkey, and that's why they don't want the Syrian government and Russia to expand their operations. But the problem is also because Russia did this deal with Turkey about Idlib. And according to the deal, they would have to remove this jihadist group from Idlib, Hayat al-Tahrir al-Sham. Mm. But in the end, the group ended up controlling 70% of Idlib. So that's why Russia is taking advantage of this situation. But yeah, the situation is quite complicated.
As we know, Erdogan has been very firm and still sending very firm statements about how they will not give in and will continue to implement their strategy in the region. So their deadline is almost expiring, or I'm not sure what the time it has expired if we're in Australia.
No, it's already expired.
Yes.
It's all expired.
Of course. Yeah. So how do you think this will affect the next phase of the conflict now?
Well, I mean, like, because the main fight in Idlib is about the M4 and M5. There's like strategic highways in Syria. So I think they, like Russia and the Syrian government, they want to control both. So I'm sure that we're going to see like more fighting between Turkish-backed groups and the Turkish army and the Syrian government in the next few days. And then I think at some point it would not be unlikely that, for instance, Russia and Turkey, they reach a deal again. And also I think Turkey will try as much as possible to also pressure the US and Europe to get more military or financial support for the refugees. But so far, like, Turkey also hasn't opened this border. So there's like 800,000 displaced Syrians inside Idlib. So, I mean, Turkey could also, if, for instance, there's a new deal with Russia, they could, for instance, build more IDP camps inside Syria with, like, for instance, European or German support. So I think we have to see the next few days how this will develop.
How this escalated conflict and the relationship between these major players in Syria affect the Kurdish forces or the Kurdish region of Syria?
Well, one of the facts is that there are some people from Idlib are now currently being based in there. They fled to Manbij. So there's around 1,000 people from Idlib in northeastern Syria. But I think the biggest effect is that every time that there's like clashes between the Syrian government forces and Turkey, that every time Turkey hits Kurdish positions. So, for instance, there have been a lot of shelling in Tarafat, and Tarafat is a small town in Aleppo where Kurdish forces are based. So there's a lot of shelling on that area constantly, and there's already, like, I think 3 or 4 civilians died in the shelling. And also on other front lines, like in Manbij and in Tel Tamar. So you see, like, so it's only not like Turkey's not only shelling and Turkish backed groups are not only shelling in the area. In Idlib, they are also, like, for instance, shelling every time Kurdish positions in Aleppo, or they're trying to shell the regime. So also, for instance, in Manbij, there was one civilian that died. So every time, we've seen the last few days, every time that the tensions get high between the Syrian government and the Turkish government, that you see, like, basically more attacks also from Turkey and Turkish-backed groups on Kurdish positions.
Now, Erdogan is also facing criticism or by a few groups internally, including the ultranationalists, for this sort of involvement in Syria and particularly in Idlib. Is there any chance or any likelihood of Erdogan that will make him eventually back down, in particular if there is not enough European or US support?
Well, I mean, what Turkey is doing now, what recently they've been doing, they're using drones. And it's also possible that, I mean, like, that they're going to kill a number of Syrian government soldiers and then saying, okay, we have killed a lot of them. We pushed them out of one town or something, and that he will pull back. But first he has to show his teeth, you know. So I think he will first retaliate, most likely tonight, and also before he was retaliating. But the most important thing is who controls what on the ground. So he has to make some concessions to Russia, but he will not doing that somehow without saving his face, especially towards the Turkish public. Although that in Turkey, it's more easier to accept, for instance, that their soldiers die in a foreign country. It's not like in Europe or in other countries, but still he has to, like, show his, like, power, because domestically, first of all, he lost earlier the elections in Istanbul and Ankara, mostly because of the domestic opposition in Turkey against refugees. And that's why also he needs to keep the refugees out of Turkey. So that's why also he's sending recently the refugees to Europe. So I think it's possible that at some point he's going to reach a deal again, because I think in a few days also there's supposed to be a meeting or, like, talks again with Russia. That's so we have to see in the next few days. But the main point is what he's going to get in return and what is Russia is going to get in return. So they have to make a deal on who controls what in Idlib.
Definitely, we'll have to wait and see. Vladimir van Velrenburg, thank you so much again for your time and for joining SBS Kurdish.
No problem.
دەتەوێت بابەتی دیکەی وەک ئەمە ببیستی؟ گوێڕایرە لەسەر ئەپڵ پۆدکاست، گوگڵ پۆدکاست، سپۆتیفای یان لە هەر کوێیەک پۆدکاستەکانت بەدەست دەهێنیت.